University of New Hampshire. Good morning. Is the volume okay for the back? Excellent. So I'm here to talk about New Hampshire Transitions in Caregiving Project and Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System data. I have no commercial relationships to disclose. The Transitions in Caregiving Project was funded by the Federal Administration on Aging as well as the Harry and Jeanette Weinberg Foundation. And what it did was to study the New Hampshire Family Caregiver Support Program, which was our shift in New Hampshire from a state-centered, state-based centrally modeled program to more locally managed aging and disability services through county-based ServiceLink ADRCs, Aging and Disability Resource Centers. And the outcome of this process was that we were able to provide a more comprehensive and person-centered approach to working with family caregivers. So what I'm going to talk with you about today, first I just want to mention that if anyone viewed or downloaded the slides that I posted, they are different than the slides I'm using today, and I did that really for your information. I did it on purpose because the slideshow that I posted gives a much more comprehensive view of the project, but what they wanted me to focus on today was the BRFIS data, so I'm talking about a very small piece. So sorry if that was confusing, but perhaps it was helpful. Today what I'll talk about is the characteristics of the research sample that we studied during the Transitions in Caregiving Project. I'll compare it with the statewide New Hampshire data from the BRFIS and, you know, see if there are any conclusions to be drawn, and then very briefly look at disparities between the caregivers and non-caregivers from the BRFIS data. So a little bit about the two samples that I'm comparing. The TIC sample, that's our research sample, Transitions in Caregiving, there were 418 individuals. Data was collected at the ServiceLink Aging and Disability Resource Centers by a position that we created called caregiver specialists. These people were hired and worked part-time, and one of the services that they provided was this assessment process that they went through with the family caregivers. It amounted to like a 20-page data packet, but it was really positively received by the caregivers who probably were experiencing for the first time someone sitting down talking to them, with them, about them, and it was really a positive experience based on feedback we received. Then the research team at the UNH Center on Aging and Community Living entered the data, analyzed the data, reported on the data. In contrast, the BRFIS sample, BRFIS stands for the CDC's Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System. It is a telephone-based survey that's conducted nationally in all 50 states plus the U.S. Territories. And in 2010, the Center on Aging and Community Living funded the inclusion of the caregiving module, which is optional. And this is how the BRFIS introduces their questions on caregiving. There are a total of 10 questions. And the telephone interviewer says, people may provide regular care or assistance to a friend or family member who has a health problem, long-term illness, or disability. During the past month, did you provide any such care or assistance to a friend or family member? There it is. And so the sample size is 1,207. And this is a weighted sample, unlike, of course, our research data. So here are some caregiver characteristics. In our research sample, the mean age was 65. The age range was 25 to 92. And they were 70% female caregivers, 82% were married. Statewide, using the weighted sample, the mean age was a little bit younger at 49. The range was very similar, 18 to 94. And 65% female, 72% married. in our research sample of 418, 36% of the sample reported income less than $20,000 a year, and 32% worked outside the home. For Burvis, the percent with the income below $20,000 a year was much smaller at 12%, and more people reported being employed outside the home. For our sample, it was almost half and half. 51% were providing care to a spouse, 44% to an older parent. In the Burvis, only 18% reported providing care to a spouse, 48% to a parent, and 13% were speaking about a child that they provided care to. So that's interesting in that that's not a sample that we captured in the Transitions in Caregiving research study. So what conclusions may we draw? Well, as you could see, the people who sought services through the ServiceLink ADRCs were older, were even more likely to be female, although most of the caregivers in our state are female, were more likely to be in a lower income bracket, were less likely to be working, and these, you know, this may have something to do with that they were older. Perhaps if our mean age was 65, we may be talking about more retirees. And they're more likely to be caring for a spouse, which again may be related. In terms of disparities, this is just from the Burvis data now. So, and I'm only going to share the statistically significant results that we found, and there were not many. The total sample, unweighted sample from New Hampshire is about 5,800, and as you know, the caregivers are 1,200. So still, I think the sample size was a little bit small to be able to draw a lot of conclusions. There was marginal significance, for example, when looking at mental health status. So it was really close that some of those caregivers, certainly the confidence interval was much larger, that their number of days in which they felt their mental health was not good tended to be higher, but I don't have it on my list because it wasn't significant. So what I did find, though, was that delayed care was a significant difference. And what I mean by delayed care, there's a question in the Burvis that asks, was there a time in the past 12 months that you could not see a doctor when you needed to see a doctor because of cost? And so in the caregivers between the ages of 40 and 64, 15.6% said yes, compared to non-caregivers, which less than 10% said yes. The other, so I guess we can speculate about that a little bit, knowing that, I've lost my train of thought. I don't want to say something wrong. I'm going to move forward. So, and the other is disability. In two of the caregiver age brackets, ages 18 to 39 and in that 40 to 64 range, the percentage of the prevalence of disability was much higher. So looking at the 18 to 39-year-olds, 21.6% had a disability according to the Burvis definition, which I can tell you in a moment, compared to 10.7%. And then again in the 40 to 64-year-old range, the gap is a little bit smaller but significantly higher at 27% versus 21%. Burvis defines disability with a two-question series. The first is, are you currently limited in any activities due to health? The second is, because of a health problem, do you use any special equipment, such as cane, wheelchair? A yes answer to either or both of those is disability. So to me, this is a real puzzle, and I'll leave you with this, which is, it looks like a ripe area for further investigation. Of course, we can't tell, chicken or egg, we don't have any directionality, but is it maybe, are people with disabilities at home more? Are they better able to provide care because they are less likely to be working? I don't know. This would require a lot more analyses, but or is it that providing care is taxing and that causes them to seek disability because of health conditions? So it's obviously not something that I can conclude today, but kind of an intriguing finding. That was it, short and sweet. Can I answer any questions for you? That's a good question. That's a really good question that I could look at but have not, so I'm afraid I can't answer your question. I will when I get home because I didn't think of that.
Because it is intriguing.
Yes.
The other thing that may come in is that more of awareness of substances as a disability in that age group.
Substance abuse? Do you mean substances?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, it is intriguing.
Yeah. Other questions? Yes.
I was curious how the caregivers found out about the transitions in caregiving program.
Oh, that's a good question. Okay, let's see. So the Aging and Disability Resource Centers became really a single point entry, and I think that in the past, to receive any kinds of services, they would have to apply to the state. But the state was very intimately involved in the construction of the ADRCs. So wherever they would go before, they would be referred. Also, there was a lot of marketing and outreach by the service link centers. And instead of having to apply for funds, one of the things was simply by calling and saying, you know, I'm a caregiver, this caregiver specialist would come out to your home, sit with you for a couple of hours, and based on that discussion and talking about your goals and your needs, there was a discretionary amount of funds that the caregiver specialist could assign for any purpose. The caregiver could use up to $2,000 for whatever they needed, even if it was a vacation to Tahiti because their burden was too high. You know, I don't know that $2,000 would get you there and back, but you see what I mean. So I think word spread as well.
Okay. Were physicians included where they might refer someone?
Well, not specifically, but there are other programs happening that, you know, there's a lot of crossover at the ADRC, so our options counseling and our long-term support counselors would also be referring. That's a good question, and I'm really sorry if I didn't make that clear. So this is disparities between caregivers and non-caregivers in the New Hampshire statewide sample. So people who said, no, I have not been providing care to a family member or loved one, were much less likely to also report that they have a disability, according to that BRFIS definition.
By the TIC definition or the BRFIS?
BRFIS. The disparity data is just from BRFIS. Hi.
So I want to make sure I understand this correctly. So the BRFIS is just it's a national survey and it catches people who are caregivers and a lot of people who are informal caregivers. So the TIC program is actually institutional support for the same kind of people who are doing caregiving.
Right.
So can you summarize the difference in the population and by implication, what is the benefit of the TIC program?
Yes, well, yes. So the difference is we did a research project from 2009 to 2012 with people, caregivers who received services through our service link, Aging and Disability Resource Centers. That sample was 418 people. But what I was asked to talk about today was a comparison of the characteristics of those caregivers with the characteristics from the BRFIS survey, so that I guess we were looking, and what I tried to do with that was say, you know, the study was over and done with. So now we're looking at what we can glean from that is perhaps what kinds of people sought services compared to what kinds of caregivers are out there in the state. And did that help?
Right. No, but I guess my other question is what is the TIC program effective? Can you
Not by comparison with the BRFIS study, no. The slides that I posted before that were more about the program showed that, showed that during the duration of the program, the Transitions in Caregiving Project, the caregiver level of burden stayed the same. And we expected that. Our hypothesis was that we could stabilize, if not improve, caregivers' level of burden, while at the same time the care recipient's health we would expect to decline. And that's exactly what we found. We did a before survey and a 6 months after survey, and what we found was that the burden did stabilize. There was no statistically significant change, while the care recipient's number of activities of daily living with which they required assistance, they were dependent on care, went, you know, dramatically up. So that's what we use as effectiveness. We also did some research on cost effectiveness and looked at income and months to spend down to Medicaid and number of ADLs, and we found that, you know, we suspect that we diverted nursing home care, but it wasn't a randomized control trial survey experiment, so we can't say that for sure. So everyone looks completely puzzled and slightly unhappy. Good. Thanks for coming. Next.
Thank you.